This week, the true significance of Memorial Day, or as it used to be called, Decoration Day. What is the Masonic connection to this day? How did all this Memorial Day stuff even start? This week, we'll explore such topics from a guest contributor of the Midnight Freemasons blog, Brother Brian Nemeth. Then, we'll continue a series called the Lodge Education Series. Short articles for your Masonic Lodge. This month's contribution, Twice in 24 Hours. We'll talk a little bit about what Twice in 24 Hours means and some of the mystery about where this happens. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 596. I want to thank our contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners for assisting us in the making of this podcast, which we've been doing for over 10 years, since July of 2011. It is no small endeavor, and I have to say thank you to everyone who has made it possible with their contributions to make the show better at every step of the way. When we started, it was so basic, a microphone and a cord and a free blogger website that most of the time worked. But we've come leaps and bounds to essentially bring you just a nice, usable platform and, of course, publishing Masonic, quality Masonic education every single week, with the exception of about 2 weeks a year. So I want to thank those folks. If you're curious on how you can help support the WCY podcast, spread Masonic light to all those interested in the royal art, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out your options. Of course, there is also a one-time gift as well, if you'd like to just make a one-off. All of that stuff goes right back into the show and the making of it and the production. There are also a couple other ways you can help. We have a shop and, of course, a bookstore as well. So check all that out if you are so inclined. I'm very excited. This week, I will be presenting at Wallkill Lodge number 627 in Wallkill, New York, The Philosophy of Kings, Friedrich Nietzsche's Übermensch and the Royal Art. This is a very interesting presentation, if I do say so myself. I thought it would be interesting when I did it, and it really was more interesting than I had suspected. Lots of interesting feedback and really great conversations with the brothers after the presentation is over. And it was a lot of fun. So this is essentially about Nietzsche and how he changed the world and his approach to an individual responsibility. And, of course, his ideas about the progress of humanity. His idea of a perfected man, which he called the Übermensch, which is the Superman or the Overman, can almost be seen as blasphemous within religious circles. And similarly, making oneself better through experience and perspective is exactly what Freemasonry calls us to do, and is in simpatico with religious viewpoints. So the lecture, we explore those concepts and their interrelations. It's a good time, and I say buckle up in the description of that presentation because it can get a little uncomfortable. Nonetheless, we will be having that again at Wallkill Lodge, 627 Wallkill, New York, on the 7th. Later on this month, I will be also driving up to Battle Creek, Michigan to see our good friends and brothers from Battle Creek Masonic Lodge, who I had the good fortune of meeting a while back at the Winterfest Scottish Rite event up in Michigan as well. A lot of fun. I'll be doing the Masonic Pub Crawl, which is Freemasonry in America and its Colonial Tavern Beginnings. I've been giving that presentation for quite a while now, and, you know, of course it grows, but as my wife said, perhaps I should rename the presentation Freemasonry in America and its Colonial Tavern Beginnings, a fireside chat with RJ, because there are several times during the presentation I kind of break away from it. We talk about some tangential things that are really important. And then as soon as I drive home from there, the next day, I pack up my car and I'm driving to Virginia with the fam, and I'll be doing Freemasonry, A History of Mystery for Manassas Masonic Lodge 182. Which, of course, is fellow Masonic Roundtable host Joe Martinez, who is the worshipful master over there. The program is called Freemasonry, A History of Mystery. It will explore where we came from, really. What is the purpose of our existence? What is the divine revelation of our ritual? And the keynote address, we're going to explore all these things. And by the end, I'm hoping you'll be ready to work with your lodge and change the world. So, no small endeavors, though we got a little bit of a break. I don't think I've got anything going on in July. But then in August, we've got the John Skeen Celebration. Of course, later on this year, an evening of Masonic Light. All these really great events that are happening. And speaking of great events, if you haven't picked up your tickets to MasonicCon Kansas, do that now. They have locked in everything. It looks like it's going to be amazing. I would be there, except I have to be at my annual family reunion. So I won't be able to go this way this time around, and I'm really bummed. I'm very excited for all the presenters, notably Brother S. Brad Drew, who will be doing a talk there that I definitely have some FOMO about, FOMO, fear of missing out. So I'm hoping to be able to chat with Brad about some of those things or catch it another time. Or maybe I'll just schedule them for something up here. But in any case, that's what's going on around in Masonry. As I hope you know, we've got MasonicCon Chicago also happening September 16th. We're going to start releasing the speaker schedule. In fact, you might have seen an email already about the event and who our first speaker is. Now, let's get into this week's education. We just had Memorial Day, and there aren't always a great deal of articles about Masonry and its relation to patriotism that don't feel overly nationalistic, I think, at times, which is, I think, in a modern context, can be somewhat problematic if we're not careful. And in most cases, people are careful about these things. But recently, on the Midnight Freemasons, we had a great post called Memorial Day and Its Masonic History by Midnight Freemason guest contributor, Brother Brian Nemeth. Or Nemeth. Sorry, brother, if I did pronounce that wrong. So, here we go. Memorial Day and Its Masonic History by Brian Nemeth. It's the month of May, and summer will officially be here soon. The kids will finish up with school and proceed to drive us crazy because they have nothing to do. Even after we suggest they go outside and play sports or read books or solve puzzles or analyze problems. But with this month, May, there is a federal holiday, a three-day weekend. A three-day weekend at the beginning of summer usually means barbecue. All right. I'll get the checklist out to be sure I have everything I need for this official opening of summer barbecue. Let's see, hot dogs, hamburgers, buns, chicken, corn on the cob, mustard, ketchup, relish, potato salad, paper plates, plastic silverware, picnic tablecloths, napkins, iced tea, Kool-Aid, and of course the grill. I'll need to check the grill to be sure it's clean and I have enough charcoal or propane and my grilling tools are not too rusty from sitting in the garage all winter. Now what am I forgetting? Don't tell me. Let me ponder. Oh, I think the big question is, why are we having Memorial Day? And what does it mean? Besides, another three-day weekend. Much of the following information has been obtained by reading articles by Maynard Edwards, Chris Hodapp, Greg Knott, and David Ross. Memorial Day is not to be confused with Veterans Day, which comes in November. Memorial Day used to be a day where local newspapers would publish articles about a few hometown war heroes. Maybe put their picture next to the article. Maybe the article will be on page 2 if the veteran is lucky. Maybe the article will include a brief summary of their military career and some of the things they did while on active duty and what they have done since leaving the military. But nowadays, there's hardly a hometown newspaper to print such an article. And if you dig a little deeper, perhaps on social media, you might find comments posted from family members who just want more than anything else for their veteran loved one to simply be remembered, if only for one day of the year. Well, how did all this Memorial Day stuff even start? When it first came about in 1868, when it was first observed, it was called Decoration Day. It was meant to provide a time of remembrance for those members of the military who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. Today, across the nation, wreaths are laid, taps are played, the colors are lowered by members of the veterans of foreign wars, the American Legion, and of course, Masonic Lodges. Masonic Lodges, you say? Yes. You have a fellow Mason to thank for it. His name was Brother John Alexander Logan. He was born on February 9th, 1826, and died on December 26th, 1886. Just 60 years old. He was an American soldier and politician. He served in wars and rose from the rank of private to major general. Brother Logan was raised in Mitchell Lodge, number 85 AF and AM of Pinckneyville, Illinois, and affiliated with other lodges and many Masonic organizations in Illinois, including the York and Scottish Rite in Chicago. Apparently, Brother Logan was something. He founded and was the second commander-in-chief of the Grand Army of the Republic. The Grand Army of the Republic was a veterans group made up of former Union soldiers. At its peak, the Grand Army of the Republic boasted 490,000 members, but was disbanded in 1956 when the last member passed away. As I said, the Grand Army of the Republic was a fraternal organization that promoted fraternity, charity, and loyalty as its basic premises. Sound familiar? Many members of the Grand Army of the Republic were Freemasons. I have read the rituals of the Grand Army and saw quite a resemblance to our Masonic rituals. Not word for word, but enough to be able to recognize. There were similarities, including a solemn obligation. The custom of decorating soldiers' graves predates Brother Logan's order, which I'll read shortly. The tradition was first observed by a ladies' group in Savannah, Georgia, who made it a point to annually place flowers on the graves of Confederate soldiers. One of the earliest Memorial Day ceremonies was held at the close of the Civil War by mostly freed African Americans in Charleston, South Carolina, to honor their fallen companions and soldiers with a parade at the local racetrack. Brother Logan is regarded as the most important figure in the movement to recognize Memorial Day as an official holiday. After Brother/General Logan's order, Michigan was the first state to make Decoration Day an official state holiday. Brother Logan chose May 30th to be the day to be designated as the date of Decoration Day because it was not the anniversary of any particular battle. Brother Logan was said to be intense. Here is General Logan's Grand Army of the Republic General Order 11. As I suspect, he may have delivered it. The 30th day of May 1868 is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. In this observance, no form of ceremony is prescribed, but posts and comrades will in their own way arrange such fitting services and testimonials of respect as circumstances may permit. We are organized comrades, as our regulations tell us, for the purpose, among other things, of preserving and strengthening those kind of fraternal feelings which have bound together the soldiers, sailors, and marines who united to suppress the late rebellion. What can aid more to assure this result than cherishing tenderly the memory of our heroic dead who made their breasts a barricade between our country and its foes? Their soldier lives were the reveal of freedom to a race in chains, and their deaths the tattoo of rebellious tyranny in arms. We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. All that the consecrated wealth and taste of the nation can add to their adornment and security is but a fitting tribute to the memory of her slain defenders. Let no wanton foot tread rudely on such hallowed grounds. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no vandalism or avarice or neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free an undivided republic. If other eyes grow dull, other hands slack, and other hearts cold in their solemn trust, ours shall keep it well as long as the light and warmth of life remain to us. Let us then, at a time appointed, gather around their sacred remains, and garland the passionless mounds above them with the choicest flowers of springtime. Let us raise above them the dear old flag they saved from dishonor. Let us in this solemn presence renew our pledge to aid and assist those whom they have left among us, a sacred charge upon a nation's gratitude, the soldiers and sailors, widow and orphan. It is the purpose of the Commander-in-Chief to inaugurate this observance with the hope that it will be kept up from year to year, while a survivor of the war remains to honor the memory of his departed comrades. He earnestly desires the public press to lend its friendly aid in bringing to the notice of comrades in all parts of the country in time for simultaneous compliance therewith. End quote. General Order Number 11. In 1868, this day was called Decoration Day. In 1967, the name was changed to Memorial Day. And in 1971, it was changed to be observed on the last Monday in May and be a national holiday. In Indianapolis, there is a Congressional Medal of Honor memorial along the banks of the canal downtown. It has all the names and a few stories of the 3,506 recipients, with 3,525 awarded, some multiples, since the medal's creation in 1861. But as amazing and heroic and tragic and heartbreaking as those histories are, soldiers, sailors, and airmen don't always receive big impressive medals before or after they don't make it home. Most of them don't. And their stories don't always get memorialized. For every story we hear about, there are hundreds we never do. They have families and histories that need to be remembered too. Beyond just a name on a forgotten stone in a grassy field somewhere nobody visits very often, even on a special holiday, just for them. Please remember all those thousands upon thousands of men and women whose names never got in the paper, except perhaps for a brief obituary, who have given so much for all of us. It is incumbent upon all of us sitting here today, and for our families and for our friends, to never forget the veterans who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and for those veterans who still serve today, and those that will serve tomorrow, to remember the significance of and the profound meaning of what Memorial Day is. Brian Nemeth. I loved this piece because it speaks to the idea of remembering people for what they've done. And more than this, this idea that, yes, there are hundreds, thousands of stories that never get told. I remember many of the stories that my Uncle Bob told me when I was growing up as a Vietnam veteran. And, you know, he has since passed, and now I have those stories, and I won't let them die. I've told my kids those stories, and I hope they tell their kids. And we do go visit those spots, those special spots of those people in our family, at the very least, and pay our respects. So I hope you had a good Memorial Day, a wonderful 3-day weekend of perhaps relaxing, but remembering why we're able to do that. All right, next up is a second piece in my lodge education series that I did for my mother lodge. Now, I had to make significant edits to this, and I'll read about that in a moment, because I had to make this open for the public, but here for the first time in audio recorded format. Twice in 24 hours, the lodge education series by Midnight Freemason Emeritus Contributor Robert H. Johnson. Prepared for Waukegan Masonic Lodge, No. 78, May 15, 2023. Note, this education piece is a little different, as it's edited to be fit for the profane. The topic is related to the penalties of breaking a Masonic obligation. Within the jurisdiction of Illinois, there are secrets, and there are penalties of your obligation. And the penalties of your obligation are considered to be among those secrets. To this end, the article is slightly altered as to avoid any imperial entanglements. The Masonic penalties within Freemasonry are largely considered to be of a secret nature, not to be discussed outside the walls of our fraternity. What I would like to mention, however, is an element of one of those penalties in a way that is acceptable. Within the Entered Apprentice degree, as in all degrees in Freemasonry, we take an obligation and make certain promises. There is, of course, a penalty for breaking this promise. In the first degree, there is an allusion to a place where the tide ebbs and flows, twice in 24 hours. This is an ancient ritual that dates back to, quote-unquote, time immemorial. This ritual is used to symbolize the consequences of breaking one of the most sacred of Masonic oaths, the vow of secrecy. In this penalty, an item is buried in a spot that is affected by the ebb and flow of the tide. This spot must be one where the tide ebbs and flows twice within a 24-hour period. Curiously, this happens nowhere on Earth but in one place, and as it is, only a technicality. The ritual is meant to serve as a reminder to all Masons of the importance of keeping their oaths and the consequences of breaking them. The symbolism of this ritual is quite powerful and meaningful. The ebb and flow of the tide is a metaphor for the passage of time and the effects of breaking the oath. As the tide ebbs and flows, the sand gradually covers and uncovers, symbolizing the gradual fading of the vow of secrecy. The fact that the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours serves as a reminder the consequences of breaking the oath will remain forever, even if the person is no longer a Mason. It could even be considered a ceremonious repeated washing as a sign of mistrust. It is a tangible reminder of the commitment that is made to uphold the ideals of the fraternity and to protect the secrets of the Masonic Order. So where does this ebb and flow happen twice in 24 hours? The Dead Sea is a unique location on Earth, as it is the only place in the world where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours. Located between Jordan and the West Bank of Israel, the Dead Sea is an inland saltwater lake that is renowned for its high salinity and its healing properties. Its unique characteristics make it a popular destination for tourists and travelers from all over the world. The Dead Sea has an impressive depth of over 1,200 feet, and its shore is the lowest point on the Earth's surface. Its unique combination of high salinity and minerals, as well as its location in the protective basin of the Jordan Valley, make it one of the most saline bodies of water on the planet. This high salinity contributes to the phenomenon of the twice-daily tidal flux. The twice-daily tidal flux is caused by the gravitational pull of the Sun and Moon and the effect of the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea causes a powerful current to flow from south to north, which creates a swell that causes the tide to rise and fall twice in 24 hours. This phenomenon is unique to the Dead Sea, as all other bodies of water experience only one high and low tide in a day. That's it for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope to see you all out there in the wild at your Masonic lodges. One more time, I want to thank our supporters of the show, contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners. If you like this kind of programming and you believe in Masonic education, then consider assisting us by heading on over to WCYpodcast.com and clicking on Support the Show to check out the various options. I've got a couple of great interviews that I am trying to schedule up, so I'm hoping those take place very soon. I want to also mention that Brother Darren Lainers and I did another episode of Beyond the Fourth Veil. So if you are interested in all things paranormal, you might want to check that out. We had a great episode talking about Darren's recent visit to the Cryptid Museum, the International Cryptid Museum, and you can find those episodes out there at Beyond the Fourth Veil on YouTube. And that's it. So until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
That's it. Okay, girl.